In today's gospel, we have this follow-up of the interaction between Peter and Jesus from last week. Last week we had this great interaction between Peter and Jesus, where he says, where Peter recognizes Christ, Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. You know, he accepts him as the Savior. But here, and at that point, Jesus, you know, chooses Peter to be the rock on which he's going to build his church. And yet here, just a few moments later in the conversation, Peter stumbles. Peter stumbles, and Jesus does not revoke his choosing of Peter as the one to lead his church, the one on which he's going to build that church. And it's the same with us. When we stumble, God's calling in our life, the mission that he places in our hearts, that's irrevocable, and he wants us to discover it more and more, and he's never going to take that away from us, even when we stumble. God has put a calling on your heart and my heart. God has put a calling on Kevin's heart. And this is Kevin's last weekend with us. So right now I'm going to invite him up to give us a reflection on today's readings.
Sorry, Mark, can you put the slide back on the... thanks. While we wait for that, in last week's gospel, Jesus asked Peter a question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter got it right. And because of that, Jesus says to him, only my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And you know what? While we're at it, here are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And today, we have, get behind me, Satan. Well, Peter, you blew it. And when I read this, it actually made me laugh a little bit. To me, it's a typical dynamic you see between a mentor and his apprentice. And I'm sure, Father Mike, there were many times where you said to yourself, you know, great job, Kevin, that's a great idea. Wow, I think you should be a priest. Followed in a couple of minutes by, okay, that was really stupid. One such example I remember was a meeting we had close to the beginning of the year. I think it was probably back in September or October. Now, I forget what this meeting was about, but it was more than just me and Father Mike there. There were other people there. And I recall saying something along the lines of, you know, what do you mean mission? Are we going off somewhere to build a school or pour some concrete or something like that? And I remember you saying something like, no, that's not it at all. Never say that again. And actually, this spoke to my pretty small-minded understanding of what mission was in the context of a parish. And over this year, I can honestly say that this has been the biggest transformation and the biggest gift I've received. I've fallen in love with the mission of the church. That mission, what we hear in Matthew's gospel, go make disciples of all nations. But this is not just an intellectual assent to these words from Jesus, but a real conversion, I would say, in accepting the mission of Jesus to bring that basic gospel message out to those who haven't heard it, particularly in our parish and in our city. And over the past year, I've read many books on parish and faith renewal. And one of these books, there's my plug for Sherry Waddell's book, Forming Intentional Disciples. And in there, she writes that there are three journeys or conversions that happen in someone's life of discipleship with Jesus. The first conversion is to Jesus. The second one is to his church. And the third one is to his mission. First, to Jesus. This is a foundational step. In today's gospel, Jesus is saying to Peter and his other followers the kind of suffering he would have to undergo in Jerusalem. His passion, his death, followed ultimately by his resurrection on the third day. And our faith is centered on that cross. And here at St. Ignatius, the cross is literally front and center and large, the largest I've ever seen anyway. And that conversion to Jesus, therefore, involves saying yes to the cross, acknowledging that Jesus died for us in order to save us from our sins and so that we could have a relationship with God and share an eternal life. And the second conversion is to the church. By church, I mean being united together as the people of God, both in a spiritual way, but also in a physical way. When we pray and we worship together God, conversion to the church is first and foremost a desire to want to be part of the church and to also want to receive the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation. And then also acknowledging that we have a role in this life. We have a role in the life of the church, no matter where we are in life. It's also acknowledging that Jesus willed a church and that he founded the church. That was last week's gospel. But many people in our world today, in our workplaces, our families, in our circle of friends, they've heard about the church, but they associate the church with its rules and its hierarchy. They don't associate the church with a place where you can encounter Jesus, the living God in word and in sacrament. But the church exists primarily to convey that message of Christ's salvation to all nations. And that's the mission of the church. But the church doesn't just have a mission. It is a mission. And that's the church that I want to call home. That's the church I can be part of and give my talent and treasure and time. And that's the church that I want to serve as a priest. And this brings me to my third conversion. And that is to Christ's mission. And you know, before entering seminary, I knew that I had this conversion to Jesus and to his church. I mean, you kind of expect that for someone going into the seminary, that they would be in love with Jesus and that they would be in love with his church. But this third conversion, I know that that was missing in my life. And that changed this year. The first reading today gives us a glimpse of what having that conversion to Christ's mission looks and feels like in our lives. We have Jeremiah, who has been given this task, this mission, this vocation of a prophet. And he's a prophet to the kings and the priests in order to call them back, for them to turn away from their sin and to call them back to the Lord, or else face the violence and destruction. And that is not an easy message to convey, to the point where he's scorned and that he becomes a laughingstock. And he groans within himself and tries not to do it. He tries to plead with God to get out of it. He tries to suppress that message that he has. He tries to suppress that mission. But he just can't. He says to himself, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones." Have you ever felt that way about the gospel? That to me is how I feel, not only about proclaiming the fruits that we have, that we're reaping here at the parish, not only about the great experience I had here at St. Ignatius, but also about how I want to proclaim Christ crucified and resurrected. And I can point to the time it happened this year. It's actually because of Alpha. We hear about this so much, and we'll be hearing about it more. And I remember after Christmas when Father Mike was talking about Alpha in a homily, and he said, your Alpha journey is not complete unless you've invited someone to take it. And that hit me. I had not invited anyone to Alpha, or even to church, or I haven't even witnessed in a long, long time about what God has done in my life. And that message transformed me. Something clicked about everything we were doing here at St. Ignatius. We have people here on our staff, people volunteering, because they were invited at some point to take Alpha, and they had a transformative encounter with Jesus. It is about Christ's mission to make disciples of all nations, ultimately. And that mission informs everything we do here, from the music to the homilies and to how we welcome people, and that every weekend we expect newcomers joining us every weekend. And this reality really hit home during the pandemic. Almost everything we did here changed. But I learned that our mission as baptized Christians didn't. And that gave me that burning feeling like Jeremiah describes in the first reading. Often in the Gospels, we see Jesus going to lands where there's not supposed to be any faith. Like Tyre and Sidon, we heard of a few weeks ago, or Samaria. But yet, Jesus, he finds faith there. In Matthew's Gospel, after the healing of the Roman centurion's servant, so he's a Roman centurion, a Roman soldier, Jesus says to his followers, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. In no one in Israel have I found such faith. And as someone who wants to be a priest, that gives me a lot of hope. There are people searching for faith, for meaning in life. And they're in our cities, and they're in our world. And they're not even in our church yet. There are people here in Montreal. And there are also people in Ottawa. And maybe even in Cornwall. That's where I'm from. We just need to go out and meet them and invite them into this faith, into this encounter with the Lord. And so, St. Ignatius, you have helped me discover what my calling from God is in life. You have helped me to discover my missionary heart. And this year has been a renewal for me. And I want to be a priest now more than ever. St. Paul writes in today's second reading, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God. That I can say has happened. It's clear to me what at least part of the role of a parish priest is. And that is to help you through the sacraments, through preaching the word of God in your journey of conversion to Jesus, in your journey of conversion to his church, and in your journey of conversion to his mission. And so thank you, St. Ignatius. Thank you, Father Mike. Thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Kevin says he wants to be a priest now more than ever. I want him to be a priest now more than ever. I want so many people to discover their mission in life, to discover what God is calling them to discover how they're going to be fulfilled and find joy, find the joy that Kevin has in being the person God is calling them to. Being that missional person, that person who overflows with the joy and peace that comes from knowing Christ. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful vocation he has. It's a beautiful calling that God puts in everyone's heart. and discovering that where you are in that journey, whether you've had that conversion to Jesus and to his church and yet to have it to his mission, that's okay. Everyone's on a journey that's going to be a little different. And what God is calling you to is not what he's calling Kevin to. It's not what he's calling me to. But it is to his mission. You know, for me, Kevin had that conversion here. For me, that conversion to his mission happened 4 years ago. I can remember when I had my conversion to his church. I was 21. I can't really identify when in my life that I had that conversion to, you know, that to Jesus. That what Peter declares last week, that, you know, Jesus is the Savior. He is the Christ. But I can tell you when I had the other two, at 21 and 46. Hopefully, you know, Kevin's got a leg up on me. He's had that third conversion at how old are you now? 33?
32.
32. All of us have a different path to take, but it's important, I think, to recognize, to take stock of where we are in that journey, to see where the next step, where God is calling us to next. So I urge you during this week to maybe just reflect back on when it is you were able to say, you know, Jesus is the Christ, is the Lord. You know, when it was that you were able to say, if you've been able to say that, I'm, you know, that I want to be part of his family, of his church, that he founded. And when it is, if you have said it, when I've discovered how God is calling me to be missional in this church, how he is calling me to go out and make disciples. That's what I'm going to ask of you during this week, is to take stock and see where you are in that journey and where God is calling you to take that next step. Right now, I'm going to ask you to please stand. I'm going to ask Kevin to come out. We're going to just pray a blessing over him as he returns to his final 2 years at the seminary. Just ask you to extend a hand in blessing if you'd like. Pardon me?
Hopefully I'm stolen the camera.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your beloved son, Kevin. We give you thanks for the blessing he has been to us over this past year. We give you thanks for his joy, his enthusiasm, his yes to you. We give you thanks for all the times he said yes to all the things I asked him to do, please, as well. And Lord, I just ask that you bless him in this next stage of his journey to the priesthood. Give you thanks and ask for that blessing always in his life. We ask that you bless not only his next 2 years, but his entire priesthood, that it might be fruitful, fulfilling for him, that he might preach well, that he might serve you in the sacraments with reverence and devotion, that he might lead more and more people to maturity in their faith. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Our Lady of Ville Marie, pray for us. Holy Spirit, enlighten us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.